This is Skirting Dignity, a Stargate Atlantis fic written by Sepphoris, read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated R, pairing John Rodney. Author's notes. Crack fic. Seriously so. S.V. Madeline for audiencing the original, Chop Chica for the same, and Chop Chica and C.J. Andre for the beta and suggestions. C.J. Andre chose the title. Trust me, the things I was coming up with were bad. So bad. It's hard to make sense of. Two exhausted scientists in makeshift loincloths standing in the conference room. Zelenka looks paler than his usual lab pallor, listing slowly towards Kavanaugh, who hasn't looked away from the wall just to the left of Elizabeth's head since they came in. Four unhappy-looking Marines wrapped in what could be someone's bedsheets, hovering by the far side of the conference room table. Lorne hasn't met her eyes once. One, John Shepard, who is actually carrying off defiant military dignity, mostly because he's sitting and therefore the skirt is out of view, leading to Rodney McKay, having herded everyone into the room, barking orders like a terrier rounding up a small pack of Great Danes and assorted mongrels, has taken to pacing the length of the conference room floor, looking across between homicidal and utterly ecstatic. He's also the only one who's fully dressed. Elizabeth reminds herself that she's a leader, capital L. So, she says, since this is a little different from the other post-mission briefings. Carson, just beside her, keeps blinking, like he is almost certain that last batch of liquor from the mainland was tainted, and come to think, that could be the best explanation. What happened? Rodney was just waiting, turning to face her, self-righteous satisfaction almost oozing from every sharp jerk of his hands. Oh, that! We had a little problem. If by little, you mean our people are insane! Rodney's all big movements and sudden stops. It makes her wonder how much coffee he has had today. But luckily, someone in the room realized what was going on and got everyone out in one piece. The pause has to be for dramatic effect. With their virtue intact. Elizabeth blinks. Rodney? Shepard turns in the chair, eyes narrowed, but Elizabeth detects the beginning of what could be, Christ, a blush. That's so not how it happened. Rodney points one gleeful finger. Oh, yes, it is! It happens like this. There are many things that are a given in the Pegasus Galaxy. No matter where they go, what they do, or how bizarre the culture is, Shepard can charm them. Sometimes the charm takes the shape of grunting cheerfully over weaponry, and sometimes by randomly and chastely seducing natives, female and untyped. And sometimes it's to go whoring in the M-whatever-X equivalent of the Red Light District. I can't believe this, Rodney says, staring at Simpson, who is all of the colors of the sunset, curling up in the desk chair like she's trying to disappear. Grabbing the back, Rodney spins it into the center of the hotel room, the better to pace around her. You are telling me that all of my scientists, not to mention our military escort, are cavorting with intergalactic prostitutes? Geishas, Simpson manages faintly. I think Leader Palov, the pimp, I take it? Simpson tries and fails to meet his eyes, hands twisting in her lap. Dr. Zelenka agreed with Colonel Shepard that it was important for our status as negotiators to pick up hookers? Now that's an intercultural exchange they didn't cover in school. Concubines. It's like waking up and realizing that you are the only sane human being in the universe. The only sane sentient being, period. Rodney thinks of the rational, normal lab he just left, though come to think that Dr. Amil has been a little touchy-feely for a microbiologist. Do you hear the words coming out of your mouth, Simpson? Are you making this up? Because if you are, I will be really amused. I will kill you, but really, I have a sense of humor. Tell me you are kidding. Tell me you did not let them leave. If possible, Simpson shrinks even further as Rodney circles her chair. Sir, don't sir me. You let them leave. Simpson looks resentfully at the floor near her feet, as if she's imagining it's Rodney's head. Oh, when he gets her back to the lab. How was I supposed to stop them? I could have stripped to my underwear and offered myself as a distraction, of course. Rodney spins around. Ha! Prostitutes! Simpson's back straightens like someone shoved a broomstick up her ass. It was important for the mission. Oh, yeah. Rodney knows all about how important space sluts are. He's got the temper tantrum and the lack of a viable ZPM to prove it. Oh, yes. Of course Shepard goes chasing after the first piece of tail he sees, but Zelenka? He has more sense. Or so Rodney thought. Christ, Kavanaugh? Do these bimbos have no standards? All right. Rodney runs a quick hand through his hair, trying to think. He's still dressed for the field, and the jumper surely is something Simpson can use. All right, I can do this. Come on. Simpson blinks. Sir? Get up. I know a Shepard keeps the extra weapons. Like, Rodney wouldn't notice a miniature arsenal cleverly disguised as water rations beneath the back seat. Weapons? Standing up, she stares at him blankly. Rodney makes a mental note to check her credentials again. Atlantis needs quick thinkers. Why do we need weapons? Feeling noble, Rodney unholsters his guns and wisely checks the ammunition. One thing down. We're going to rescue them, of course. Snapping his fingers, Rodney gives the room a quick once over. At least Shepard had the sense to go armed. Chop, chop, Simpson. We have men to save. That, and who knew Shepard turned that color, is a complete and total lie. It turns out, Shepard looks just as ridiculous as anyone would in a fluorescent pink skirt when he's standing up, a fact which doesn't escape anyone's attention. Rodney rocks back on his heels, eyes narrowed. Which part? The part where you abandoned your team to get some at... I'll ask that you don't finish that sentence, Elizabeth says, trying to keep a straight face. Colonel? Shepard gives Rodney a last, burning look, then turns to face Elizabeth. They weren't prostitutes. Ha! Shepard flinches. They were legal concubines of Lever Pavlov. Pavlov! Oh, will you shut the... Enough's enough. Colonel! Shepard turns back around, frothy lace swirling around his knees. Elizabeth forces herself not to laugh. Sorry, Dr. Weir. Elizabeth nods, straight-faced. Continue, please. Right. Shifting from foot to foot, Shepard nods shortly. Leader Pavlov asked us to join him for an evening's entertainment. Rodney snickers. Is that what they're calling it? Good God. Rodney! Rodney gives her an offended look, but subsides, leaning moodily against the wall, arms crossed. As I was saying, John says, voice louder, blush brighter, and Elizabeth watches in fascination as it spreads slowly down his chest. We were invited to an evening with Leader Pavlov. Simpson was running some simulations for Rodney, who, it must be stated, was spending an inordinate amount of time in a locked lab with Dr. Emil. Rodney opens his mouth, but Shepard's voice raises, drowning him out. So I accepted on behalf of the team. Elizabeth swallows sharply. And then? Shepard shifts again. From the corner of her eye, Elizabeth sees Zelenka shiver. It got... kind of complicated. John blinks slowly at Zelenka. They want what? It's like waking up and realizing you've gone completely insane. John stares out the open door, where his marines seem to be engaging in activities not strictly covered by protocol. The thick smell of the incense is beginning to make his nose itch annoyingly, and John wipes his eyes, trying to focus on Zelenka. They want to mate. Somehow, and John has no desire to find out how, Zelenka lost his uniform. Something is wrapped around his nether regions that looks in danger of slipping at any moment. John suspects it used to be a curtain. John can't quite make himself look away, train wreck fascination style. His head's starting to hurt from all the incense. Mate. Colonel, I listened to them talking when they thought I was otherwise occupied. Zelenka's arms crossed defensively over his chest, eyebrows drawn sharply together behind smudged glasses. They wish to be impregnated. Impregnated. This is new. This is very, very new. Must you repeat everything I say? Zelenka's hand snaps out, catching the top of the thing that's pretty much the only barrier between him and the world, and his voice rises in hysteria and accent both. Impregnate! To implant our seed! Yeah, got it. Stop there. But he has to ask. What happened to your clothes? Zelenka's free hand takes up a distinctly Rodney Flair wave about, like that can possibly distract from the fact that he is, well, mostly naked. I am talking to you, so. Talking. So that's what they're calling it these days. Zelenka puffs himself out. Talking! She asks, do I wish to be more comfortable? Then she takes my clothes! John notes the vivid hickey just below Zelenka's ear. Against your will. Zelenka blinks, then deflates. Perhaps not so much. Right. John checks his gun, then nods sharply. Where is she? In the bathroom, freshening. The combination of lust and abject terror is a little freaky, but this is the Pegasus Galaxy, and John Shepard was trained by the best minds in the military. He can handle this. All right, get the others. Colonel? John turns slowly towards the far door, where his escort had exited moments before, and feels his fingers go numb on the butt of his gun. Beside him, he can hear Zelenka swallow. Hard. Leaning into the door, naked, she waves a long nailed hand at them both, a sharp smile curling up at the corners of her mouth. Still, naked. Can I assist you with anything, Colonel? Yes! It's too much to expect that Rodney could control himself through that, Elizabeth thinks in resignation, wishing for aspirin. Right there! Mistake my ass! John closes his eyes briefly. I was unaware of the reason behind Pavlov's invitation until Zelenka informed me of what he overheard. Of course, at that point, I... From across the room, Zelenka makes a choked sound. You did not have your gun! John's eyes widen, turning to Zelenka. Zelenka, I swear! No gun, no shirt, if I remember correctly. Pushing unsteadily from Kavanaugh, Zelenka leans into the table, looking considerably less drunk and a lot more pissed. No shirt, no shoes, and lipstick on your... John's hands clench on the edge of the table, and Elizabeth wonders if she'll be able to separate them before there's an unseemly display in the conference room. You really want to go there, Zelenka? Because we can go there. We can so go there. Zelenka's eyes narrow. You are telling it wrong, Colonel. It actually happened like this. Oh, God, John says, and wishes to God he hadn't taken off his gun when the evening's entertainment had begun. Beside him, Zelenka is frozen, eyes huge. Radek? We should leave, Zelenka says, with absolutely no conviction in his voice. We should... Zell slowly crosses the room, moving in ways that physics and a lot of United States laws do not allow. Leaning over, God, she picks up a decanter and pours three drinks. Jen finds himself staring at the golden liquor as she lifts the glass. You should drink, yes, before you leave? From behind them, John hears another feminine voice. Ysel, he assumes, murmuring something to Zelenka that he can't quite hear. He almost thinks he should just maybe get Zelenka and... Colonel? She's a lot closer than she was a second ago, and equally naked. John nods slowly, reaching for the glass she extends. Yes. Yes, we should. I could get very tired of being right all the time, Rodney inserts in the dead silence. Pushing off the wall, he crosses to the conference room table, giving John a slow once-over, lingering on the skirt with deliberately raised eyebrows. But really, it never stops being fun. Elizabeth licks her lips. So you had a drink with this Cell? Pavlov's chief concubine, John says, chin up, and Elizabeth fights down another inappropriate urge to laugh. For diplomatic purposes, Zelenka says, straight-faced. He sways slightly, and Elizabeth watches Kavanaugh reach a hand out and tilt Zelenka forward when he would have toppled. We did not want to insult our hosts. Right, Elizabeth hears herself say. So you had a drink with myself, and then... Shepherd's eyes fix on the floor. Well, the thing is, we were drugged. John grins as Michelle picks up his wrist, running sharp teeth against his soft skin. So handsome. Are all the men of Atlantis so handsome? No. It's true, they're not. Still grinning, John lets her lift his arm, stretching it over his head, something soft wrapped carefully around his wrists. What you doing? You'll like this, Colonel, she says, leaning down to lick a slow path from the center of his chest to his other arm. John sighs. You will like this much, and I will like this too. John believes her. Of all the... You were drugged? You... That's your excuse? Rodney's mouth works soundlessly for a few eternal seconds, and Elizabeth wonders if his blood pressure is up to the challenge. There aren't words for what you are, besides a hormone-crazed moron! You let her tie you up! John stares at the wall, arms crossed over his chest, and doesn't say a word. It was not... exactly... Zelenka offers, blinking rapidly. More of a... And there was... His voice trickles off at the look on Rodney's face. We were drugged. Very, very drugged. Your friend, Zelenka? Her hands are gentle on his shoulders, and she kisses him lightly, tongue flickering against his. Is that a tongue stud? This is the best planet ever. He is very energetic, yes? You wouldn't, Zelenka hisses, and Elizabeth watches as Kavanaugh carefully peels Zelenka off of the table that he attempted to crawl across, depositing him in a chair, all without once looking him in the face. Shepherd's eyes narrow. As I was saying... John hears the sound of Zelenka speaking a rapid, ecstatic stream of Czech once room over. Two cooing voices answer. Two? Yes, says John happily, as her hands pull his thigh holster off, sliding his pants down. Such a friendly planet. It's always the quiet ones. Colonel! Zelenka slumps onto the table, covering his face with his hands. Some virtue, John says, face straight, eyes dancing, was... irretrievably lost. Around the time that John's boxers hit the floor, it occurs to him that this might not be a good idea. He's an officer of the United States Air Force. He is commander of a base, and also, apparently, the fun and games could lead to later intergalactic paternity suits, and there's no way that that can end well. Missel, he hears himself say, and Missel is there, tongue in his mouth to stop the words, and it works really well. Wet mouth, tongue stud, best planet in the galaxy, the universe. John forgets what he was going to say. Abruptly, Mizal lifts up her head, snapping back to look at the door. Blinking himself back into the room, John thinks he hears raised voices. Sliding off him, she picks up a robe from the floor. And that's a tragedy, John thinks, trying to reach for her, but the damn restraints make it pretty much impossible. Missel? Just a second, Missel says, tossing a smile back before reaching down and picking up his gun from the couch. Just want to check on something before we start. She tosses another smile back, licking her lips. Yes, tongue stud. Thank you, God, and black marks. Think of me. Like John can think of anything else. Elizabeth takes a deep breath. And that's when... I rescued them, Rodney says smugly, and Elizabeth can honestly say she's never seen Rodney this happy. John tries to stare Rodney down. You didn't rescue us, we were just about to... make tiny little Atlanteans with the nice space tramps, Rodney says cheerfully, but the long fingers are clenched on the edge of the table. Now, let me explain what actually happened. The first thing Rodney sees is Kavanaugh getting disturbingly close to post-coital. Really, that's all the incentive he needs. Raising the gun, Rodney fires into the ceiling, cleverly angled so as to avoid having plaster fall on his head. God knows what these hussies would do with his unconscious body. Okay, everyone, get your hands off my team. Simpson, beside him, turns in a slow circle, gun pointing at anyone who moves in the large reception area, where various, and completely inappropriate, social activities have come to a grinding halt. Rodney does a head count. Marines, there. Kavanaugh, there. Ew. Missing one Radek Zelenka and one bimbo magnet John Shepard. Oh, hell. Pointing a gun at the closest underdressed woman he sees, Rodney snaps, "Where are the other two?" Blinking, she starts to stand up, what little clothing she claims falling at her feet. Simpson makes a strangled sound, but Rodney's made of sterner stuff. And also, she's not a blonde. "I do not understand, honored Dr. McKay." "Of course you do. You have kidnapped important representatives of the former city of Atlantis." Keeping his gun trained on her, "You can't trust these trollops. God knows what kind of weapons she could be hiding." Rodney wishes suddenly that he is not loaded up on quite so much ammunition. It's getting kind of heavy. "Get them. Now." "They are otherwise occupied," she says, and Rodney sees a far door open, another severely clothing-challenged woman emerging. Rodney's eyes snap down to see the gun in her hand. "Simpson, run." No rescue, however brilliant, can be accomplished when the rescuers are dead, Rodney thinks, as he leaps behind Kavanaugh's couch. He misjudges the angle, though. "So that's why Kavanaugh started screaming," John says suddenly, eyes turning on Kavanaugh thoughtfully. "I thought someone was killing you." "Well," Rodney says, teeth bared in a bloodthirsty grin, "it could be that teeth were involved in a very, very inappropriate way." John jerks up against the restraints at the sound of Rodney's voice. Clarity comes with adrenaline and blank, unending horror. That's McKay out there. First thought, "Oh, God, he's going to kill me." Second thought, "Oh, God, he's going to see this." John starts to struggle against the silk. It doesn't have a lot of give. Rodney snorts, "Yeah, you were fighting so hard when I came in." Missel comes back in, no gun, mouth in a wide smile. Small trouble. The others are taking care of it. Sinking down on the bed, she settles between John's knees, licking her lips as she stares down. John's cock makes it known that escape is the stupidest idea in history. But, Michelle, I heard... Rodney's out there. Maybe he's joined in? That can't be good. That can't be... Well, it could be. Interesting. A minor distraction. Leaning down, warm tongue and warmer metal brush the head of John's cock. Suddenly the world shifts. Don't worry. All is taken care of. John stares straight ahead. I was very, very high. Elizabeth doesn't have words. From somewhere above him that isn't silk, therapy-inducing amounts of Kavanaugh skin, and squealing female, Rodney hears Simpson curse and a gun go off. Oh, God, this is so not going as planned. Pushing at the silk, Rodney tumbles to the floor, looking up to see Simpson is standing over a redhead, one booted foot resting on the wrist holding the gun. Simpson looks kind of scary, her own gun pointed right between the woman's eyes. Got her, sir, Simpson says steadily. All of you! She waves the gun meaningfully at the assembled women. Get in that corner, or the super tramp gets it. Rodney almost grins. Such a bright girl, he's always thought so. Sparing Rodney a glance, she smiles shyly. I'll get everyone out of here. You get Zelenka and the colonel. Zelenka straightens. I came out on my own. The dark eyes look into Elizabeth's pleadingly. I came and helped Simpson retrieve our people and take them back to the puddle jumper. Zelenka glances at Rodney. Well, Dr. McKay went looking for Colonel Shepherd. Rodney cocks his head. I don't remember that. I think that was after you had left the room. Zelenka's eyes glitter oddly, and that smile really makes Elizabeth wonder. To find Colonel Shepherd. Rodney circles the bed, eyes fixed on Shepherd's face. It's just safer that way. So, this is so not a surprise. The woman's head jerks up around the same time Shepherd's eyes flicker open. Glazed and almost black. So very, very stoned. Rodney wonders if anyone would really blame him if he accidentally shot them both. Who are you? A stupid question. Rodney points his gun, feeling a little silly. He's holding a gun on a naked, defenseless woman. On the other hand, just look where her hand is! It's completely justified. You just get away from him. Mine! She says, eyes narrowing as she sits up. How dare you? Oh, hell no! Rodney hears himself cocking the gun. It's a little easier now that she isn't engaged in oral recreation. Those nails would be classified as deadly weapons in some parts of the galaxy, surely. One, mine! And two, there is no two. Get out and tell your whatever he is that we're leaving! She doesn't move. And that's a problem. Rodney just doesn't think he can shoot an unarmed woman, even if she is molesting his team leader. But he thinks maybe he could wound her somewhere insignificant with no problem whatsoever. He learned how to shoot from John Shepherd. He can so do that. Her head tilts, blinking in what looks like honest confusion. Yours? You think I came in here for decorating tips? It's all very bordello now that he's looking around. Red and mirrored and kind of creepy now that he's looking. John grins crazily from the bed. This is so not what he expected when he woke up this morning. Mine, not yours. No sharing, no borrowing, and get your hands off him. Atlanteans kill our rivals. And eat them. Eat them? Her hands snap away, and the dark eyes flicker to John, who, idiot that he is, nods along, like he has any idea what they're saying. With ketchup. Slowly, she slides off the bed with jerky movements, groping for her robe. I did not know. I assumed when he accepted our invitation, Well, he's slow on the uptake. John's mouth opens at the worst possible time. Rodney slaps a hand over it before something stupid comes out. You! Shut up! Just wait until we get home. From the other side of the bed, Mizelle bows her head. We did not know. The others, they are yours? Even for the sake of Atlantis, Rodney can't claim Kavanaugh. Giving Shepard a suspicious look, Rodney removes his hands. They're Simpsons. She's pissed, by the way. I'd get out of here before she gets back. Nodding quickly, Mizelle leaves the room just short of a run, conveniently closing the door behind her. Well, that went well. Yours, Rodney? Rodney turns to see John, still grinning like the college freshman at his first beer bash. Oh, fuck. Zelenka's fingers tap a discordant rhythm on the table, breaking into Rodney's narrative. I meant to ask, what took you and Colonel Shepard so long to return? Rodney's eyes glaze, just a little. Negotiations. Are you high? John snorts, but there's no way to hide how stone he really is. We so don't eat our rivals. Well, she didn't know that. It's hard not to look, but Rodney manages, feeling very noble and very, very awkward, reaching for the slick silk wrapped around John's wrists, almost wet beneath his fingers. Are you... What were you thinking? Scratch that. You weren't thinking. You were fucking. John shrugs, quite a feat with both arms stretched out over his head. Didn't get that far. His voice takes on a disgustingly wistful quality. It seemed nice. They're evil! Tying up helpless colonels to commit unspeakable acts on their undressed persons. Perhaps he should have shot at her. Just for fun. John rolls his eyes. He just wanted our genetic material acquired in the most fun way possible. Well, that's comforting. It's hard to get a grip on the stuff. Doesn't help that John keeps moving, stretching on the bed like a big cat, rucking stereotypically silk sheets around him like some really, really good porn. No, no, no. Calloused fingers brush Rodney's with every pull at the silk, and God, the most stupid parts of his body are reporting in how much fun could be had right now. Stop that! He's not even sure he's addressing Shepard anymore. I can't believe you did this. Just, is it anything with a double X chromosome that gets you going? Because this was old the last time. Shepard frowns, an imminent pout threatening. You really have to get over Chaya. Rodney lets his fingers slip off the silk, pulling a foot onto the bed and pulling the utility knife from the ankle sheath that Taylor had insisted they start wearing. John's breath catches, and Rodney looks over to see him flush. Christ, you have got to be kidding me. Elizabeth frowns. Negotiations? But the team was... It was important to establish a few... things. Rodney shifts uncomfortably. For some reason, Shepard is staring at the table, mouth tight. Important things, for the good of the team. Oh, no. No, 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 no. Well, you're the one that claimed me, after all. John shifts again, deliberately. Rodney knows it. Put up or shut up, McKay. You get turned on by weapons? This is so not a surprise. This is the anti-surprise. This is the very epitome... Rodney. John's head tilts back to catch Rodney's eyes. God, it only makes him look better, just spread out on the bed like some kind of really fantastic offering to a very, very tasteful god. A sex god. It's not the knife. Rodney! Elizabeth snaps her fingers, and Rodney jerks, blinking his way back into the room. What? You negotiated? Right. Rodney shifts, looking anywhere but at her. After negotiations were completed, I've found the colonel some clothes. Shepard gives Rodney a look that makes Elizabeth glad he is not armed. Circling back to the jumper for Lewis home. Personally, by the way, since our wonderful colonel was engaged in singing drinking songs with the remainder of our brave team, and then we came here, and that's, it. Uh-huh. That's it? Rodney nods firmly, staring at the table. That's it. That's not it. Rodney, Shepard says, and God, it's not fair. No one should sound that good, look that good, be that high and that tied up. And wait, where was this thought going? Nowhere good, that's for sure. Rodney reaches up and puts the blade against the silk. His hands are not shaking. You don't have to untie me. Dearest God. Colonel. Sleepy hazel eyes look into his. Leave them on. Taking a deep breath, Rodney thinks of all the myriad ways that this is the worst idea in creation. You're high. Not that high. Another shimmy. You know. A slow stretch, and there's no way that Rodney can look away from that. No one breathing could blame him. All that pale gold skin and long muscle and spiky dark hair just on offer. There's a really easy way to prevent these sorts of problems in the future. Rodney pulls the knife back before he accidentally cuts Shepard's hand off. What? Shepard smiles, wide and white and utterly reasonable. Keep me entertained at home. No one can carry off hot pink silk and lace skirts, but Shepard makes a valiant effort, and if anyone's laughing, they're sure as hell not doing it where Shepard can see it. And it's not that he's following Shepard, per se, it's that they're going in the same direction. Kind of, if Rodney had been planning to go to Shepard's quarters. So, Shepard shoots him a sidelong look, and Rodney bites his lip before he says something incriminating and highly confidential while they're still in public halls, where many residents still pass them, carefully not laughing. In quarters, however, I can't believe you said negotiations? Yeah, that hadn't been a shining moment for quick thinking. She caught me off guard! And Roddick's fate is going to be terrible, involving working with Kavanaugh and coffee restrictions and possibly overflowing toilets. Rodney's getting creative on his ass. Negotiations. Shepard looks down at the skirt in disgust, stripping it off without regard for audience or fragile material, stepping out of the pile of silk to stalk to his closet. Rodney thinks, just maybe, that at this point it's probably inappropriate to watch, but, well, God, John. Well, what was I supposed to say? We spent 45 minutes with you high as a kite propositioning me? Because that would have gone over so well. Seen Heitmeyer lately? Want to see her again? Shepard turns around, t-shirt clenched in one fist. Oh yeah, you fooled her. Elizabeth completely buys it. Next time, I'll give the report. You can sit there and hope to God nothing slips out. Okay, that's enough. Your trauma is tragic, really. I'm sure the humiliation of begging for sex when you were stoned. And it'd be a shitload less humiliated if you just agreed. Rodney blinks. Wait, what? Shepard throws up his hands. I give up. Unwadding the shirt, Shepard jerks it over his head, going to the dresser. You know the way out. That's just unfair. How was I supposed to? Rodney stops short, the full horror descending all at once. He turned down sex. Christ, he turned down sex with John Shepard. Rodney wonders why, in the name of God, he started being ethical. Because, wow, didn't that backfire spectacularly? You're high, he hears himself say helplessly. Jerking on a pair of track pants, Shepherd turns around, glaring at the door. Obediently, it slides open, almost enthusiastically, Rodney might think, if he were the paranoid type. The message is clear. Right, I'll just be going. Stepping outside, he turns to face Shepherd. Colonel, I... The door slams cheerfully shut in his face before he can figure out what on earth he thought he was going to say. So, Elizabeth says, to a fully dressed briefing room 24 hours later, trying not to smile, trying not to look like she didn't spend 3 hours with Carson, almost herniating something important in her office from laughter, trying to appear the leader, capital L. Should we worry about paternity suits in the future? There are frantic nods from everyone. Zelenka, slumped 2 chairs over, glares at her over the top of his glasses. I think not. She's just being cruel now. You're sure? His mouth tightens. Absolutely. Right. Leaning back, Elizabeth surveys the room. I understand Carson has given you all a full exam for unexpected... Rodney, unsurprisingly, doesn't have her tact. I think the term you're looking for is alien STDs, Rodney says, and the smugness hasn't diminished in the slightest, though he looks like he hasn't slept in 2 days. The blue eyes focus on Shepherd with unusual intensity. So I suppose no one's the worse for the experience. I hope we all learned something from this. Shepherd's back to normal, maybe looser than usual, draped over his chair in a way that's just this side of invitational. Yes, we certainly did, he says shortly, and Elizabeth watches Rodney's face blank instantly, eyes flickering down and away. Off duty for 24 hours, and a safe sex lecture is a bonus. Thank you for that, by the way. Elizabeth carefully does not smirk. I thought everyone could use the refresher. And the security tapes will be hours of entertainment. Very well. Dismissed, gentlemen. Shepherd's the first out, a lazy stroll that doesn't hide his irritation at all. The others leave as quickly as possible, carefully not meeting her eyes. Rodney's last, eyeing the door speculatively. Rodney? His shoulders jerk a little, but the expression doesn't change. There's something I need to check in the lab. Standing up, he tucks his laptop under one arm, wandering out of the conference room, almost bumping into Taylor, fresh back from the mainland. Pushing her chair back, Elizabeth smiles at Taylor's puzzled expression. Taylor, it's good to have you back. How is Holling? Sitting delicately on the chair beside her, Taylor frowns slightly. Good, of course. He sends greeting in hopes that you can accompany me on my next visit. Hands folded on the table, the dark eyes study Elizabeth carefully. Did something happen while I was away? Elizabeth doesn't hide her smirk. Let's have some tea, and I'll tell you all about it. The door is already closed by the time John recognizes that the scent in his quarters isn't a Thosian air freshener. What the... It was ridiculously easy to reproduce, believe it or not. The voice comes from the left. John thinks of the lights, but for once, they seem to be uncooperative, and that's new. I disabled the lights, so don't bother. McKay? It's not a psychotropic, just extremely relaxing. I checked Carson's results before I synthesized it. John turns towards the voice, but the dark is too intense. Rodney must have covered the windows. There's almost no ambient light. So it begs the question... Is it anything with 2X chromosomes, or anything, period? Cheap fucking shot. John closes his eyes, focusing on the sound of Rodney's voice. Hard left, 7 feet at most. The room isn't that big. What are you doing? Testing a hypothesis. Closer. And Christ, John hadn't even heard him move. Chaya, Michelle, and now me. What's the connection? There's not one. Jen concentrates. 3 feet, left, back. John untenses, beginning to enjoy this. He's never heard Rodney sound quite like that before. Something brushes his wrist, warm and soft. John holds still, fighting the urge to grin as slick silk circles his wrist. You kept the pieces? I was careful when I cut them. The loose end dangles against his fingers, and John holds out the other wrist blindly in Rodney's direction. This time, he gets a slow brush of rough fingers, curious and almost tentative, before the silk winds around, looping his wrists loosely together. Enough give to be comfortable. Not nearly enough to get free unless he really works at it. He's not even tempted to try. Rodney's close enough to feel, warm and solid and not quite touching, not yet. Rodney. He could move himself closer, but that would be cheating somehow. Rodney makes a soft sound, and John feels the brush of fingers against his cheek, almost tentative. What is it, then? There are easy answers to that, hard ones, too. None of them are close to the truth. I have no idea. The fingers freeze, and for a second, John reflects that honesty is rarely, if ever, the best policy. If Rodney leaves now, John will have to chase him, and if there's anything more humiliating than running through the halls in a pink skirt in the middle of Atlantis, doing it in proto-bondage gear would be it. I want to find out, though. Rodney pulls his hand away, and John thinks morbidly on the fact that at some point he'll be giving Elizabeth some totally fabricated reason for being seen chasing Rodney through Atlantis, tied up, when he's pushed into the wall. It's rough on his wrists, but he doesn't care, grinning when Rodney's hands close over his hips, pressing them together. I didn't lie to Miselle. I don't share. Rough breath is hot against his ear, and John will have fingertip bruises from the grip of McKay's hands tomorrow morning. John turns his head, just enough for a brush of lips, light enough to make him ache, rocking his hips deliberately, feeling Rodney's jerk against him. I'll remember that. The end.